All right, good morning. Thank you, Perry, so much for doing that. Today, we're going to be getting started with our series, or continuing our series, Jesus Is. And this is going to be the last one in the series. Next week, we will start a new series called Follow Me as we lead up to Easter. Now, I know this is so crazy. All of this virus stuff is nuts right now, and they just keep shutting things down further and further out. So we're just hoping that we can have service again by Christmas. That's kind of our prayer. If we don't have service here on Easter, we'll be doing it online. We'll figure out some way to connect with you and to continue to love on you guys. I do also want to remind you that we are doing our Facebook Live devotionals. Last week we did every night of the week. We probably won't do that this coming week. We'll probably do three nights, and we'll let you know when those are going to happen on our community page. So that's over on the community page. But it's one of the things I'm thankful that it's Sunday. Man, it feels so good to have a Sunday, because right now, I don't know what day of the week it is ever. Like, Monday through Saturday, I have just been walking around trying to figure out what day it was. Yesterday, I was traveling, trying to help my parents do some stuff in Auburn, and we were driving, and I told my dad, I was like, what day is it? Like, I have no idea. Is today Friday? And no, it's Saturday, and we got church tomorrow, so I'm just glad that this is one day of the week I actually know what it is. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus is on the water. So our message today is Jesus is on the water. Last week we said Jesus is in the boat. This week it's Jesus is on the water. Now, here's the thing. Last week we talked about that you need to have faith, not fear. And we focused a lot on the fear side. We talked about the storm crashing in on the disciples and how the disciples were so upset, but Jesus was so cool and chill, just sleeping in the boat on a cushion. So we talked about how do we overcome fear, and we talked about how we have to have faith. But we didn't really focus that much on the faith side. Today, we want to focus more on the faith side, and we're going to continue talking about Jesus in another boat, another storm, another issue with the disciples. And so we're gonna get into that in just a minute. But one of the things I want to tell you real quick before we jump into the message, into that passage of Scripture, is this. Faith is measurable. Now think about that for a second. Faith is measurable. Throughout the Bible, we hear people talk about faith, and we hear Jesus talk about faith. And I've come across a couple of places, even this week in my Bible reading. For example, last week we talked about how he told the disciples, "Why is your faith so small?" Today, we'll hear him say the same thing to Peter, talking about small faith. Now, there's a place in the Bible where he says, if you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed. So we're talking about size and measuring faith. Then, the Bible says he talks to a centurion, a Roman soldier who was not a Jew. And the Roman soldier says, hey, my servant is sick. I need you to heal my servant. So in talking to Jesus about that, Jesus says, all right, cool, let's go. Let's go to your house. Let's heal the servant. And the centurion says, no, sir. He says, I'm a man that has authority and I'm under authority. I know how authority works, and I believe you can just say a word right here and you can heal my servant back at home. And Jesus says, this is great faith. I haven't seen faith this great in all of Israel. In other words, there's a measurement to our faith. There's a measurement to our faith. And how do I know what my measure of faith is? Like, how do I know, do I have great faith or do I have little faith? Well, a lot of that has to do with understanding what the word faith means. In the Bible, faith, sometimes we get this idea that it's like this one-time belief, that I believe here in this moment of time, on this timeline, I believe and therefore I have faith. But in reality, the word faith means faithful or fidelity. It's your ability to be committed over time, right? So it's not just a one-time moment, it's a lifetime. And so you and I both know that we have different levels of commitment or faith to different things. Think about it. Think about your level of commitment. So we have, we're in March now, but in January, everybody's making New Year's resolutions, right? So they're all making New Year's resolutions. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to join a gym, right? And so their level of commitment is really high. Their level of faith is really high in that moment. But the problem is, whenever you go to that gym and you work out and you get really, really sore And the next day, your level of commitment is really low. Like you wake up in the morning and you're like, I'm 30 years old, but I feel like I'm 80 years old when you get out of bed. I know, listen, I'm 40 and I feel that way every day. It's just part of life. You got to get used to it, right? So there's this idea of commitment. Like I'm committed to this diet until somebody brings donuts to work, right? And then it just blows it all up. You can tell this is all personal to me. Donuts are a struggle. They're a real struggle. Thank God all we have right now in Trustful is Dunkin' Donuts, and they're not real. And so I'm not a real big fan of Dunkin' Donuts. But I've heard rumor that a Hero Donuts is coming in, and you're going to need to pray for Pastor. I'm going to struggle when Hero Donuts gets here. The other thing is, hey, at the beginning of the year, we talk about finances and we talk about budgets. And I'm committed to this budget. I'm not going to spend over this amount until you see that new pair of shoes, right? And that new pair of shoes goes on sale, and it's normally a $150 pair of shoes, but it's on sale for $125, and you got to get them, and it blows the budget up. Our level of commitment is different. And so all you got to do is look around at your friends and family, coworkers, at yourself, and you can see that faith is measurable. Faith, faithfulness, fidelity, it's all measurable. And so there are different levels of it, and I believe that we can grow in our faith. I truly believe that. I believe that you can start out at one level of faith and then grow. That's a great thing that I love about the Bible, is the reality of the Bible. Like when we read stories about guys like Peter that were really struggling with his faith throughout the Gospels, he really struggled with this idea of commitment. Peter's the one that, today we'll read about Peter. He's always putting himself out there, but Peter's the one that denied Christ whenever Christ was being crucified. Peter was the one struggling with his level of faith and commitment. But then, if you continue to read the story, you find out that Peter grows in his faith. And I believe there may be some of you sitting out there right now, and you're watching this on Facebook, or you're watching this on YouTube, or you're in your living room, and you're watching this, and you're thinking, man, I don't have a whole lot of faith. Like, I don't have a lot of faith. I don't really have faith to believe that God's going to show up. I don't really have faith to believe that something good's going to happen in this situation. I want to tell you something. No matter what level of faith you're at right now, I believe God can grow that level of faith in you. And so today I want to talk about how we can grow in our faith. Because here's the thing. Wherever there's a lack of faith, that's where fear begins to fill that void. So whenever you have a lack of faith, so if I've got little faith, the problem is like I've got this bottle of water right here, and this much of it is full of water, this much of it is full of air. If this were my faith, this much of it would be full of faith, and this much would be full of fear. And so what I want to do is I want to fill up my faith to push out fear, right? Because where there's faith, faith helps push fear out of the way. So if you would, get out your Bibles or your phones or whatever app you're doing today as far as reading the Bible. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to read this story. It goes all the way from 22 to 33. Okay? So Matthew 14, 22 through 33. And it says this, immediately after this, we'll get to what that means in just a minute, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and cross over to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up on a hill by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." He's trying to eliminate fear in their life. Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. So here's what we want to do today. I've got three places that we can find fear. Find faith. Oh, I got a lot of places we can find fear. I got three places we can find faith today. And so I want to go through these three places we can find faith. The first place is this. We can find faith in the fragments. So write that down if you're taking notes this morning. Find faith in the fragments. Now, I would love to say that I just came up with this all by myself, but I'm going to be honest today. Look, when I steal something, I got to tell you about it. So one of our guys, Bobby Childs, shout out to Bobby today. I hope you're watching right now. I'm sure he is. But Bobby did our devotional for our community page earlier this week, and he didn't know that I was going to be preaching on this same story. So Bobby did his devotional on this story, and so I'm straight up stealing his devotional to use my first thought, and that's okay, because no one's here to stop me, right? So that's what you get, Bobby, for being quarantined. So check this out. Find faith in the fragments. Earlier in the verse, when we first started in Matthew 14, in verse 22, it said immediately after this. Remember that? So now we're going to go to verses 20 and 21 to see immediately after what, right? So in verse 20, it says, they all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. Some versions say of fragments. And about 5,000 men were fed that day in addition to all the women and children. So maybe you've heard the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Okay, so when he feeds all these people, he feeds them miraculously, right? With a small amount of bread and fish, he feeds all these people. And the disciples go out and they collect the leftovers. They get the doggy bags, right? But it's 12 baskets full of fragments. Now, Jesus says, immediately after this, he sends them off. What do they have in the boat with them? They've got 12 baskets worth of fragments. 12 baskets worth of leftovers. Leftovers of what? Leftovers of a miracle. Not leftovers of fish and bread. Leftovers of a miracle. Jesus performs one of the most famous miracles we've ever seen or heard of. And these guys have the leftovers. They've got the fragments sitting right there in the boat. So now they're scared. They're terrified. They're facing a wind. And guess what? They've got fragments of a miracle sitting right there beside them. Here's what we need to do. If we want to build our faith, the first thing we need to do is look back at the fragments. Look back at the other things God has done in our life. If you can look back at the different things, the different places, the different miracles God has performed for you, it's going to help build your faith for later storms that you're going to go through. The Bible says that we're going to go through storms. The Bible says that in Isaiah, it says, when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the floods, when you go through the fire. In other words, you're going to have these moments in life. There's going to be another virus. There's going to be another war. There's going to be another something that comes up. So the question I have for you today is, can you look back at the other ways God provided for you along the way? One of the things that my wife and I do all the time is when we get to struggling with our finances as far as our mind goes, like a bill comes in that we weren't expecting or something breaks in our house. I remember not too long ago our AC went out, and that's like $5,000 to get the AC done. Well, that's not something you just expect to have. Like, no, some of you may have it. I don't necessarily just keep $5,000 laying around the house just in case something breaks, right? And so when that happens, you get nervous, you get scared. And one of the things my wife is so good at is she's so good at saying, yeah, but look back at what God did for us here. And look at what God did for us here. And look back at how God provided for us when we didn't have another way, but all of a sudden the money came in. And so that looking back at the fragments helps me to be able to move forward in any storm that I'm facing. It builds my faith. A story I tell all the time, and I love this story. This has to do with finances again, but my mom... When my brother was a baby, my mom and dad ran out of food, completely ran out of food. My dad was working multiple jobs, multiple shifts, trying to provide for them. They were a young couple. They just didn't have any money. They had a baby, and they had no food in the pantry or in the fridge except for a jar of jalapenos. And my mom wakes up in the morning, and she starts to pray, God, either you need to provide us with food, or you need to teach me how to make these jalapenos for my baby, right? Like, and they were tithing, they were giving, they just ran out. Like, at the end of the day, sometimes the brook runs dry, and it did for them. About the time she gets done praying that prayer, before she starts feeding my brother jalapenos, there's a knock at the door, and it was a college student friend of theirs, and he came in with baskets or bags full of groceries.
And he said, I was at the grocery store, and I felt like God said, you need to buy food for Mike and Sue. And he said, I don't even know what to buy them. They've got a baby. And he said, I walked down the aisle, and I would feel like God would say, grab this, and grab this, and grab this. And he began to fill the basket with things that God was showing him on the shelves. And when he came back, and you know how it is, those of you that have babies, you know there's certain formulas or certain diapers or certain things that your baby has to have. And he brought in those exact things for my folks. God provided. So every time I start getting worried about finances, I look back at that and I think, man, if God provided for my family way back then before I was even born, he's going to provide for me now, right? I look back at other parts of my family. I've got two sister-in-laws that the doctors told them, both, you will never have kids, right? Told them, one sister-in-law had already had a kid, told her, you're not going to have any more kids. My other sister-in-law hadn't had any kids yet. The doctor said, you won't ever have kids. They've both had children since then. One of them had two kids since then. Now listen, if God can miraculously make a way for a baby to be born where there is no way, where the doctors say there is no way, you're absolutely done, then don't you think God can provide for you and God can heal you and God can protect you in the middle of a little virus? I mean, I know people are dying, but God's performing miracles. He's not done performing miracles in your life. And what you got to do is stop walking in fear and start looking back at what he's done. Look at the fragments in your boat. They're right there. They're right there. Build your faith by looking at the fragments in your boat. In Exodus chapter 12, God brings Israel out of Egypt, right? And he brings them out of Egypt. It's a miraculous thing. And here's what he says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 17. Celebrate this festival of unleavened bread, for it will remind you that I brought your forces out of the land of Egypt on this very day. This festival will be a permanent law for you. Celebrate this day from generation to generation. God only brought out one group of Israelites, but he said, you remember this day, celebrate this day, look back the fragments every year so that future generations can be blessed by the fragments that you're bringing out right now, by the miracles I've already done. Find the fragments and you'll find faith in your life. Here's the other place we can find faith. The second place is this. Find faith in the following. And yes, I did do a lot of F's. For those of you that don't know me, I'm not the smartest person in the world. So if I can keep things with the same letter sometimes, it helps me just to remember my message. So find faith in the fragments. Find faith in the following. Now Peter says to Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come over the boat. Tell me to come over the side. Tell me to walk on the water. If it's you. Now I used to always think, now Peter, like you can't look out there and see that man walking on the water and know that that's Jesus. Like, what's wrong with you, Peter? You know, like who else is going to be walking on the water? But when I started researching that, I found out that in the Greek, the way that's written there, it's not necessarily saying if it's you, as much as it's saying, since it's you. Like, Peter's really saying, hey, I see you, I know what you are, I know who you are, and since that's you out there, tell me to come over the side of this boat. Tell me to do something. Peter is excited about the opportunity to step off onto the water, and he's asking Jesus, hey, just give me a commandment, let me do this. Let me tell you what Jesus wants from you today, and what God has always wanted from us. He wants obedience from us. He wants obedience. He wants us to follow him. Next week, we'll start a new series called Follow Me. It's all about following him. He wants us to obey him more than he wants anything else. If you're a parent out there, I don't know how you parent your kids, but one of the things I can't stand when I tell my kids, hey, I want you to take the trash out. Will you take the trash out? And my kid doesn't go take the trash out right away. I can't stand it. They'll walk over and do something else. I say, hey, what are you doing? They say, well, I'm just going to come over here and pick this thing up, or I'm just going to go turn the TV off. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm like, no. I didn't tell you to brush your teeth and turn the TV off or pick something up. I told you to take the trash out. Do it now. Like my thing is, I want people, when I tell my kids to do something, when I give them something to do, I want them to do it, right? I don't care how much work they're doing at other places. I want them to obey, and that's what God wants from us. God's not asking you for anything crazy today. He's asking you to obey him today. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, the Bible says this, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering of fat of rams. He wants our obedience more than he wants our sacrifice. He doesn't care how much you give. He cares that you give what he tells you to do. So at the end of April every year, we do this, this offering, a special offering called Building Our Future. And it has to do with this building, this facility that we're in. And so every year we take up this offering that specifically goes towards the purchase of the building and remodeling or whatever it is that we got to do for the building, right? And one of the things that I felt like God told me to tell our people whenever we first started doing that offering was, it doesn't matter how much you give. Like, I found something in Exodus that says this, but our goal in this was, you go home and you ask God, what do you want me to give? And if he tells you $1 or if he tells you $1,000, you give whatever he tells you to give. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I'm not looking for a specific amount. I'm looking for people to be obedient to the voice of God. One of the things I pray about is, I say, God, what do you want me to do in any situation? I believe that God wants obedience more than he wants sacrifice. And here's the thing. How do we learn how to follow God? We learn how to follow. The Bible says, listen, and he says obedience, right? So our faith is built in following him. Our faith is built by listening and obeying, right? So Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and that is hearing the good news about Christ. James 2:17-18 says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, I know right off the bat, some people are going to say, yeah, but good deeds don't get us into heaven. Good works don't get us into heaven. It's not a matter of good deeds as in, I'm going to do so many works that God's going to be pleased with me. It's a matter of good deeds as in obedience. In other words, James is saying, you can say you got faith all day long, but if you're not obeying, right? If you're not obeying, then you're not really showing me any faith. Verse 18 says, now some may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. In other words, he's saying, I'll show you how much faith I have by my obedience. I'll show you how committed I am, how faithful I am, how much fidelity I have to my relationship with God through my obedience to God. So you gotta have the following builds our faith. Here's the thing about Peter. Peter is not being reckless here. I think we get this view of faith sometimes that it's a little bit twisted because we hear the term leap of faith. And so we think that faith means I'm gonna just step out and do something wild and crazy. I'm just gonna jump off this cliff and expect God to show up and catch me. But the Bible doesn't ever say that's what faith is. I've never read leap of faith in the Bible. That's not a thing. That's something made up. We don't take leaps of faith. We take steps of obedience, not leaps of faith. So here's what the Bible says right here. Or here's something I was thinking about today. Peter said, since it's you, tell me to jump over the side. Here's what Peter wanted. Peter wanted to obey Christ. Peter wanted direction in his life. Peter wanted to walk on water. But he wasn't going to do it unless God told him to do it. Some of us want to do a bunch of stuff. God, I want to go to Africa, and I want to preach to thousands. Or God, I want to do this at my job. I want to start this business. What if he told you no? How much faith do you have then? Because there's a lot of us that are pushing through no's, and then we wonder why it doesn't work out. We want to start a business. We want to start a relationship, and God's saying no, and we're saying, I'm taking this leap of faith, and God's saying, I'm not telling you to take a leap of faith. If you want to jump off this cliff, that's fine, but you're going to fall on your face. Like, I'm not telling you to do this. And we got to stop pushing through no's and wait for yeses. Peter waited on a yes, and then he stepped off. But if Jesus would have said no, I believe Peter steps off the boat anyway, he drops straight to the bottom. Right? Like, because we've got to wait for yeses, not push through no's. So faith is found where? Faith is found in the following. Faith is found in the fragments. In the third place faith is found is faith is found in the focus. Faith is found in the focus. So Matthew chapter 14, we'll go back there, verses 29 and 30. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. This is awesome. I want you to notice something though. It doesn't say he walked on water wherever he wanted to, right? To borrow a phrase from Seinfeld, he wasn't just going willy-nilly. Like, he's not just walking around, you know, looking wherever he wants to go. He's walking on water towards Jesus. He's got a focus. He's got a destination. He's got a purpose. He's zeroed in on something. And he's walking on water towards Jesus.
Verse 30, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. What sank Peter? What sank Peter wasn't the wind and the waves. What sank him was his loss of focus. He was focused on Jesus. He's walking on water. He starts looking at the wind. He starts looking at the waves. He begins to sink. So whenever we have focus, then we find faith. If we can focus on Jesus, if we can have him zeroed in, if he can be our target, then we will have faith. When I was a kid, I went hunting with my dad. We went goose hunting in North Louisiana. And what they have these big rice fields, these big rice paddies, and they're flooded. And so these geese come in from Canada, right? And they come in from the north, and they fill up these rice paddies. And it's literally like hundreds of thousands of geese. And so what we did is we would crawl down this ditch in the water, and we'd crawl down this ditch, and we'd slip up over the edge of the ditch to be able to see the geese. And one of the things my dad told me, he said, look, whenever you come up over the edge, you're going to see hundreds of thousands of geese. And they're going to take off. And it's going to sound like a freight train. And it did. And whenever they take off, you're going to think, I've got a shotgun. I just boom, 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 boom. Just shoot wherever I want to shoot. He said, but you can't do that. You've got to focus on one goose. He said, if you focus on one goose, he said, you'll shoot five geese. But if you focus on no geese, if you're just shooting up in the crowd, you'll shoot nothing. He said, I don't know how it works, but that's how it works. So sure enough, we get out there. The first time I do it, man, I get so overwhelmed by all these geese, I'm just shooting. Just boom, 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 and I get nothing. The next time we go around to another rice field, I focus on one goose, and I knock down five. And we ate good. We ate real good. Why? Because you've got to learn to focus. And here's what the problem is. We're going through this coronavirus stuff right now, but look, I know that's like the hot topic, but to be honest with you, like I said earlier, there's always going to be something else coming up, and so you got to make a decision right now what you're going to focus on. Are you going to focus on Jesus, or are you going to focus on the wind and the waves? Because there's always going to be a storm on the lake. I think it's cool, like Jesus keeps telling these disciples, go back on the lake, go back on the lake, and the disciples are probably thinking, man, every time you tell us to go on the lake, there's a storm. Like, why do we keep doing this to ourselves? Because Jesus knew, I got to teach you that life is about getting through storms. Life isn't about, sitting up on the mountaintop somewhere. Sometimes life is about going down through the valleys. And so you got to understand that life is about storms. There's always going to be another storm. So you got to realize, hey, who am I going to focus on? Here's just two little cool things I think about focus. Is whenever we focus, the Bible says we can have peace. Check this out. And this is what we need. There's some of you right now that you could stop watching this right here because this is what you need. You need peace in your life. Your mind and your heart is so frantic right now with all of this stuff, with all of this fear, and you need some peace. And the reason you've got fear is because you're focused on the wrong stuff. But if you'll focus on Jesus, he'll give you peace. Look at what Isaiah 26:3 says in the ESV. It says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The idea of the mind being stayed on God means that we are focused on him. And the perfect peace, I love this, in the Hebrew, that those words mean complete soundness. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing out of sorts. Everything is working the way it should. It's all complete, and it's sound, and it's perfect. You need perfect peace today. I need perfect peace today. How do I get it? I keep my focus where it needs to be. I stop looking at all this other stuff. I stop watching so much of the news, and I stop listening to all of these people talking about the danger. It's not that we're not wise. You got to be wise. You got to be smart. I do check the news every so often to make sure I know what's going on. But some of us, and you know who you are, you get overwhelmed by it. You get consumed with it, and your mind is going crazy right now. Your heart is going crazy right now. You need perfect peace. You need to get your focus where it needs to be. What if instead of the first thing you do is flip it on Facebook or flip it on news in the morning, what if the first thing you did was to open up your Bible and you begin to read a few scriptures? What if that was the first thing you did? What if the first thing you did in the morning was pray? What if the first thing you did was journal? You know, like these are some simple little things to get our mind focused where it needs to be. Another cool thing that I think happens whenever we're focused on Jesus is we have authority. Now, last week I talked about how Jesus had authority over the wind and the waves, right? He stood up, he rebuked the wind and the waves. This week, we're talking about Jesus walking
on the wind and the waves. Think about that for a second. The Bible never says when Jesus was walking on the water, it never says the waves died down. It just said he's walking on it. In other words, he's got authority over it. Whatever's under your feet is what you've got authority over. Whenever I'm training my dog, one of the things we do when we're training our dog is when our dog starts acting nuts and we need him to calm down, we need to take authority over him. We lay him down on his side and we rub him while he's laying on his side and we put him in a place of submission. Why? Because we've got to be in authority over that dog and we need him to understand that when we speak, he listens. And so there's this idea here that whatever you stand over, you have authority over. And so Jesus is walking on the water. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Look, I've given you given you authority over all the power of the enemy." Right now, before we finish this verse, we need to read that again. And you need to say this. You can follow me in this. You need to say, "Lord, you have given me authority over all the power of the enemy. And I can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure me." Now, we know that snakes and scorpions, we're not talking about snake handling. We're not talking about you need to come up in church with a snake around your neck. If you do, I will kick you out myself because I don't like snakes. I also don't like scorpions, so don't come in here with a scorpion in a jar. But we know that this verse is not talking about actual snakes and scorpions. It's talking about spiritual powers. The Bible talks about demons and spiritual forces. When it talks about it, it usually says snakes and scorpions. And he says over all the power of the enemy. Jesus is telling his disciples, "I give you the ability, the authority to walk on top of fear and doubt and worry and anxiety. I'm giving you authority today. You've got authority to take charge over the anxiety that's in your own heart. You've got authority to take charge over the worry that's in your household." You know, for some of us, we've allowed this stuff into our homes. We've allowed snakes and scorpions into our home. The scorpion of fear, the scorpion of doubt, the scorpion of anxiety. Some of us, you've allowed the scorpion of pornography into your house. You've allowed the scorpion or the snake of alcoholism into your house. You've allowed these things into your home. And you're looking at it now and you're like, "Man, my kid is jacked up, or my spouse is messed up, or I don't like this in my house." You have the authority today to stand on top of that. To cast it out, to crush it, the Bible says. That's a lot of power. That makes me feel good. God didn't create me to be some little puppet, some little worthless, you know, nobody. He created me to have power and authority. But here's the thing. I got to keep my focus where it needs to be. My focus needs to be on him. Let me give you a final thought today. My final thought as we close is this. You got to let Jesus in the boat. Right? Last week we talked about Jesus in the boat. This week he said Jesus is on the water. Here's the thing. Jesus isn't doing you any good when he's out on the water. You got to let him in the boat. So in Mark chapter 6, all the disciples share, the gospel share this story. They all view it a little bit differently because they're all writing from their own perspective. I found out in my studies that most people feel like Mark's a younger guy, and most people feel like Mark wrote his gospel based on Peter's telling him the story. In other words, Mark didn't just write it all from, "Hey, I'm here looking at it." Mark wrote it based on the conversations with Peter. So Peter's basically telling him the gospel and Mark's writing it down. I think it's funny that the story of Peter walking on the water is not mentioned in Mark, right? Peter was probably like, "You know what? We don't need to put that part in. There's no need to talk about me drowning out there on the water trying to have a bunch of faith. So let's just skip that part, Mark, and we'll just move on to the next part." But I want you to see what Mark says. Mark says in verse 48 of chapter 6, he said, "He saw that they were in serious trouble." This is Jesus. "Saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves." Now look, these disciples weren't just being tossed around. They're out there working. Like, they're rowing, trying to get to the other side. They can't make it. The wind is stopping them. "About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. He intended to go right past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him." I want you to look at something real quick. It says he intended to walk right past them. Some translators say that the reason that's put in there like that is that Jesus was walking in a way that he was walking fast enough that he was going to pass right by them, and he's waiting to hear somebody call him onto the boat. So Jesus is walking along, and he's just waiting. Like, I wonder if you guys are going to, are you guys going to call me? Do you guys need me? Or do y'all have it all by yourself? Do you really need me to get in your boat with you? Do you need me to help you with this problem? Or do you have it all by yourself? And so Jesus is intended to walk right past them. Look at John's account in John 6, 20 and 21. It says, they were terrified, but they called out to him. He called out to them, don't be afraid, I'm here. Then they were eager to let him in the boat. And immediately they arrived at their destination. So here's a couple of things I want you to notice, and this is where we're going to close it out. Number one, on that, you just need to think about this. They were eager to let him in the boat. Don't let him walk by. Don't let him stay at a distance. Yeah. I think one of our problems is we feel like in the South, as long as we go to church, that everything's cool. Like, as long as God sees my name on the roll of a church, then I'm good. You know what? That's not it at all. You've got to understand something today. You can't keep Jesus at a distance. You got to bring him in close. And what we do so often is we say, God, I got this. I don't need you. I'm okay by myself. I'll go to church. I'll go get in the boat. But we don't want him getting in the boat with us. So we keep him at a distance. He's nice out there on the water. He's nice with other people. But I don't want him in my life. Why? Because I don't know what that's going to change. I'm afraid of what I might have to give up. I'm afraid of what I might have to do differently in my life. And so I don't want Jesus in my boat. Because I don't know what's going to happen. Can I tell you something this morning? You need to invite him into the boat. The disciples were eager to let him into the boat. The other thing that we need to see too is this. When we let him into the boat, he'll take us exactly where we need to be immediately. I love that part. That once he got in the boat, not only did the wind and the waves die, but the disciples were in the exact location they needed to be immediately. I believe God's got a plan for your life, and that plan is for you to have Jesus in your life. And I believe that with him, he will get you exactly where you need to be immediately. But we keep him at a distance, and we need to invite him eagerly into the boat. There's this lie that we tell all the time, and the lie is this: God won't give you anything that you can't handle. That's such a lie. God gives you everything that you can't handle. It was Jesus that told the disciples, go to the other side. You think he didn't know there was a storm coming? The Bible says that he was up on a hillside praying, and he looked out from the hill, and he could see them struggling. And he said, okay, now it's time for me to go out there and help them. But he was going to wait for them to invite him into the boat. See, God will always give you something you can't handle because he wants you to depend on him. He wants you to go to invite him in to help you get to where you need to go. So there may be a business God wants you to start, but he doesn't want you to start it alone. There may be a relationship that God wants you to go into, but he doesn't want you to go into it alone. There may be a church that God wants you to be a part of, but he doesn't want you to do it alone. He doesn't want you to fight against the waves. The Bible says even our salvation, whenever God created us, he knew Adam and Eve was going to fall. Adam and Eve fall, they bring sin into the world. And he knew that you're not going to be able to save yourself alone. So he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. The Bible said it's by grace that we're saved, not by works. It's by his love that we're saved, not by our efforts of rowing against the wind and the waves. Some of you trying to get your life right, you're trying to get things straight. And I've heard this said before, I'll start going to church whenever I can get my life straight. It's like saying, I'll go to the gym once I get fit. It doesn't work that way. You go to the gym to get fit. You go to church to get your life right. Like, you go to Jesus and you say, hey, I can't do this on my own. I'm struggling against these wind and waves. I'm rowing. I'm doing everything I can do, but I can't do it by myself. And that's exactly where Jesus wants you. Because he knows when you're in that desperate place, you'll cry out to him to come get on the boat with him. So I believe today, the Bible says in Revelation, that I stand at the door and knock, and I'm waiting on you to let me in. He won't beat the door down. He won't come jump in your boat. He's not going to push your boat. He's going to wait for you to invite him into the boat. So today, maybe you're saying, my faith is struggling. Let me just remind you, we find faith in the fragments. We look back at what he's done for us in the past. We find faith in the following. We learn how to listen and obey everything that he tells us to do, right? And we've got to find these places of faith for our life. We find faith in the focus. We focus on him. And then finally, we let him into our boat. today I want to pray for you before you turn off this video. And there may be some of you out there right now, you're saying, I don't have any faith. I don't believe in Christ. I want to. I desire that. I don't know how to do that. Let me just tell you, there's no special prayer. There's no formula that you need to say. You just need to basically tell him that I believe in you. I believe that without you, I can't go to heaven. Without you, I can't get my sins forgiven. That I am a sinner. I've done some bad stuff in my life. I've lived my life without you for a long time. And so you just ask him, say, Jesus, please forgive me. I believe that you're the way. Please forgive me. Be the Lord of my life. What is a Lord? A Lord is somebody that you listen to and you obey. You follow. And you just say, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my boat to you. You come get in the boat. You take the boat where you want it to go. Right? There may be some of you right now that you're struggling with peace and you're struggling with fear. And you're saying, Gabriel, I need my faith built up today. You go to him and you say, God, forgive me of this fear. Forgive me for allowing this anxiety and worry into my life. And today I want to look back at those fragments of miracles. Today, help me to get focused on you. Help me to follow you. Help me to listen to your word and do what it tells me to do. And I believe as you do those things, as you pray those prayers on your own, that God's listening to you today, that he wants to touch your life today. I want to pray for you before we turn this off. Lord, I love you and I thank you for everybody that's watching this video right now. Whether they're watching it live or they're watching it later, I believe that you've got a plan for them. I believe there's a reason they turned on their computer or their device today, and that's because you want to touch their life. There may be people out there today that are struggling, they're sick, they're hurting, and they need healing today. They need healing in their mind, they need healing in their body. So I just speak healing over them right now, and I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to do a work in their life. Today, God, we may be struggling with our faith. We may have little faith, but we want great faith, God. And so I pray right now for everybody struggling in their faith today, that they would build their faith, God. They would look back at the fragments. They would follow you, God. They would get their focus where it needs to be. And there may be some people out there today that aren't serving you at all. They're going through life all by themselves, and they really need to allow you into the boat. And so, God, just like your word says in Revelation, that you're standing at the door and knocking. But if any man will open the door, that you'll come in and have a relationship with him. I pray for every person right now to open the door, to invite you in today, to be their Lord and their Savior, the person that forgives them of their sins and the person that leads them to the other side of the lake. We give you all the praise and the glory today. We thank you so much for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us today at Gateway Family Church online here on Facebook or YouTube, wherever you're watching this. I encourage you, if you don't have a home church, we'd love for you to come to our church, but there's lots of great churches around you. Please find one and get plugged into one today. Love you guys. Talk to you later.